About to get nervous here. A sign at the entrance of a convent read, "Absolutely no trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law." Signed, the Sisters of Mercy. A 4-year-old child got confused praying the Lord's Prayer. He prayed, "Forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." That's pretty much what Jesus meant by his words in Matthew 6:14. Jesus went on to say in verse 15, "But if you do not forgive men their sins, Father will not forgive your sins." The church is simply a community of forgiven forgiving sinners. That's kind of hard to say there. Every individual who attends church on Sunday morning has fallen short of the glory of God. Some, however, have received God's free gift of salvation by grace. Because God has forgiven you, you must forgive others. Why? Is this just another commandment? For your own good, yes. Bitterness, anger, or a critical attitude will bring sickness to your heart, eventually to your body. Forgiveness will make you free and release the Holy Spirit to bring healing to your life. So give up your grudges, your grief, and guilt. Empty your trash basket today. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings or of any sort. Instead, be kind, tender-hearted to one another, and forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ." You may ask yourself the question why I'm back on that subject again. It seems like lately I hear a lot of sermons on this business of forgiveness. I know I've preached, according to my record, I've preached quite a few sermons on forgiveness in my day. But I don't choose to forget or to quit. I believe it's one of the essential ingredients of my life that I have to practice every day. By the way, Sandra, you preached the first sermon, and that was a real good story. It wasn't just a story. It was an actual event that took place in your life that caused my eyes to get just a little bit damp. It's quite a story. I can imagine your frustration. And all of us do that occasionally. We go through these kind of things, and we get frustrated with life as it is. Sometimes pretty complicated. I plan to share a few things with you this morning about my own journey and things that have happened in my own life. But I had to think of the fact that in the past, as I remember in my early days, and by the way, Tyler, I think you're pretty not much of a natural in where you are as a teacher. You just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great. I have to brag on you a little bit in front of everybody so they all know that you're doing a good job. But I remember as a young Christian, and this was one of the subjects we talked about in our class, was the fact that young believers seem to do a lot more digging than us old guys. And it's true. I believe that is true. I think I've seen when you say young believer, a new Christian seems to have that hunger and desire for right living, and will dig and hunt and search, and that's all good. But I've thought about this in the past, in the area of forgiving, and I've been at this a while, and it seems like I can never get to the place where I quit doing this. I am constantly confronted with the fact that, am I going to forgive this individual or am I going to just be mad about it? Because I do get mad at things. I do. I mean, there are things that have happened to me in the last year that caused me some anger. I didn't act upon it, but I didn't feel very good about some things that took place in my life. Because I was a victim of somebody else's carelessness and somebody else's stupidness and foolishness, and I became the victim. I'll share it with you later. But I do remember the fact that in the past it was taught that unless the offender repents, one does not need to forgive. So in other words, if you didn't ask me to forgive you, I didn't have to worry about it. I went through pretty much a time in my life, even as a preacher, people believed that unless you would ask, you had to ask, because otherwise you didn't get it. I don't find the scripture that way. Paul told the Ephesian church this: to forgive as God, for Christ's sake, forgives us. Think about that. I find that whenever you ask God to forgive you, what happens? Does he wait? Does it take time? I'll do it tomorrow. I've had that said to me. I asked an individual one time because it was okay. I mean, it was in the way things were going, and I asked the individual if they could forgive me, and there were two people that said they could, and there was one said that they didn't think they could. Now, what would you do with that? Well, my choice was to say, my response to that was, when you get to where you can, let me know. And before that individual got out of the room, that individual turned around, looked at me, and smiled and said, I forgive you. It's one of them things. Now, I believe that it is hard work to be a Christian. It's not an easy thing. I believe that it takes a real person to say that I forgive you. It takes a person with some courage and strength and vigor I want to be right. I want to do what God wants me to do. And when I think of the fact the way that God forgives me, I don't have a choice. I would like to go to my text, and my text is Luke 17, if you want to do that. And I'll read it, and then we'll move further. Always need to have a text. Then Luke 17 says, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Now I'm reading King James. It were better for him to be that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast in the sea than he should offend one of the little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said, increase our faith. So I could look at that and understand the fact that there is a bit of faith that involves itself in forgiveness, and I want to title this Unlimited Forgiveness. So there is, I realize in the Gospels it teaches us the fact of repentance, which is important. If I'm the offender, then I need to repent. But if I'm the one that's the victim, then I have nothing to repent from. Therefore, I am the one who does the forgiving. It's just natural. So we know that there's another issue that we could say, that crossing lines is almost impossible. So there, you and I cannot be that perfect individual who would never cross a line. Crossing lines could be things we say, things we do toward others. Sometimes it's just the way we look, our attitude. Those kind of things can be very difficult. So we know that offenses do come, but if I'm the one that perpetrates the offense, that I'm the one that should repent. Now, I'm not talking about repentance, but I am thinking of forgiveness this morning in an unlimited. Now, I can go into the lot. There's a lot of illustrations, and there's a bunch of ways in which we could talk about in the area of forgiveness. And you hear people talk about self-forgiveness. I suppose Sandra probably felt pretty trashy about what she did, but she saw the miracle, and that's what got her out of it. It's these kind of things that I think we need to think about. I'm going to share with you a couple of stories, events that happened to us, but first, I want to talk about Matthew 18. I was going to use Matthew 18, but made a choice not to. But there are two incidents in Matthew 18 where they have the guy that owed a huge debt. And I recently heard something to that effect that the man who owed that big debt, now there are, I've discovered in doing a little research that there's not only one idea how much that debt was. There are different ways. And I remember years ago how we talked about this debt, how much it was, 10,000 talents, I believe it talks about. And there, it depends on how you equate that and interpret that as to where you're going to go with it. But I do know that it is more than he could pay. That is a fact. That would... And if you look at the commentators, that person is who I am, and that's who you are. We are the individual who owes the debt, and we can't pay it. What it means is that that is in the area. He used that as a forgiveness, and he said the person who forgave him that debt, that was pretty big. Now, when we think of debts, the word debt is a metaphor of sins. And so it's our sins that we can't take care of. There's no way. So God forgives us our sins. So when we are forgiven because of all the offenses that we do, then it's necessary for us to forgive others. In the past year, I've had to change two windshields and repair one. Why? Reason is because there are people on the highway who are irresponsible, who do not secure their loads. That's why you will see trash bags along the road. You will see other things on the highway. You don't have to go very far down New Holland Road, and you will see a whole pickup load of trash and junk beside the road, and with a pickup setting close by, and you will ask yourself, what happened here? I don't know. I just know there's a load of junk laying in the woods beside the road, which we're fortunate that it is. About a year ago, as we were traveling on the interstate, traveling through Atlanta, I came upon an individual who was towing a trailer, flatbed, small, bouncing down the highway. I looked at it, and I immediately decided that I need to get away from this trailer. It had all kinds of stones laying on the trailer, little bitty pebbles. And I knew what that meant. That was not good. I moved over thinking that I'm safe. I backed off thinking I'm even more safe. About that time, I saw a rock come off of that trailer. Now, you would think it should go straight or over, but no, it came to the left, straight into my windshield. Kaboom. had to change my windshield, which cost $3,000. I was not very happy because that gentleman, traveling down the interstate, unsecured load, well, I don't know how you secure the rocks, but you get rid of them. It's not a good idea. By the way, there are laws that are in place. Harley and Curtis would know this, and anyone who does hauling in commercial work would know that there are laws. But unless you're hauling big loads, they kind of ignore you. They don't pay too much attention. I'm not giving you legal advice. I'm not suggesting that you don't clean your vehicle, flatbed trailer, of the stones. It just isn't a good idea. A couple of weeks ago, we were traveling New Holland Road, and we met this vehicle who picked up a rock and threw it at me and hit my windshield. Another one, kaboom, about that big around. So I had it repaired, thinking now we're good. So we traveled all the way to Ohio, got home, everything's good. We go to Florida, we're on our way home last Sunday night. All of a sudden, I was on a four-lane highway, and I was in the right lane, and I looked to my left, and there was a pickup truck in front of me, ahead of me, with a mattress on the back that was doing this. And my wife said, that mattress is going to come off of that truck. And she no more than said it, and off it come. Now, there were vehicles behind the pickup, and I was in direct light and line for that mattress. I braked as hard as I could. I couldn't go left. But the only thing that was on my mind is to move left. If I would have moved to the right, I would have got the whole windshield. But I moved left as far as I could, and the mattress got the right side of the car in front of Edna, kawameow, and caved it in, glass all over her, all over the car. And it deflected the mattress, and it went on down into the curb and in the ditch and wherever. We pulled off to the pickup stop, which is in our favor. I think, well, this is good. And we got in behind the pickup, and a lady gets out. Well, what else you figure? A mattress unsecured. She didn't know. She's not a commercial driver. She doesn't know what she's doing, I guess. Yeah, enough said about that. She came back to the car, and she apologized. She repented immediately. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so terribly sorry. Yeah, I am too. But couldn't you just go on and let your insurance fix it? And I said, well, I don't think that's correct procedure here. I think I should probably call 911 and get the law enforcement. Well, she didn't appreciate that too much. She went back in her truck, and I called 911. And, of course, they had to come all the way from Jacksonville, of all things. That's what I was told later. It didn't take too long, and two patrol cars came. And but while we were waiting on the patrol cars, she came back to the car, and she was crying, begging me to not do this. And I said, no, this is how we're going to do this right. She begged and begged. And then she said, I am on probation. I have a borrowed pickup. I was transporting a mattress for a friend. And I'm in a county that I'm not supposed to be. I said, oh, I understand your dilemma. Yes, I'll go back to jail, I know. They will arrest me and take me back to prison. I said, well, I'm terribly sorry. But this is how it will be. I don't know what they will do, and I don't know if I'm allowed to drive my car on with a caved-in windshield. But I'm not taking a chance. This story has an ending to it, by the way. She went back to her vehicle, and I think she smoked and smoked and cried some more and repented and repented. Police came. She came out. And I said to the officer, without her, I don't know if she heard me or not, but I said, just leave her alone. She didn't mean to do this. Just, it's okay. And the officer said, looked at me, and he said, well, the only thing we can charge her for is an unsecured load. And I thought, well, that is the law. But I said, don't do it. And I said, well, can I drive my car? Well, he said, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. And I said, well, you just did. I said, I'm going to go to the store, and I'm going to get me tape, and I'm going to tape that thing back in place. And we're going, well, you should change it for you. I said, I live way off from here. I have 4 or 5 more hours to travel. He said, well, I'm not going to tell you. And I said, well, you just did. I'll take care of it. And I did that. I taped it in, and we drove home. After they left, she said, I want to hug you. And she gave me a big hug. And about that time, my wife got out of the car and came up to her, and she said to the lady, I was praying for you. Now, my question to this whole thing is, did I feel good about this? Not at all. I had a broken windshield, all because of her stupidity and her lack of judgment. But we did forgive her. We did that. And my wife was the kind one. She came up and she got a hug out of this too. I'm sharing this with you not to tell you all the bad things about my life. That's not the point. The point is, later, it was like, will she remember what happened? I think what she'll remember is she was treated with kindness. She was treated with love. As a Christian, I believe that's how we should do. We don't always feel that kind about things. We don't always want to do that. But I do think that when we are treated in this manner, that we are to respond the way Christ would respond. I believe that it is in our duty to exercise forgiveness always. One morning, as I was thinking about this, and I deal with this daily. I get phone calls constantly. I shouldn't say constantly, but many. Often, where people are struggling with unforgiveness. And that's one of the things that I first tell them is that the first thing you need to do is forgive whatever's going on. But one morning, it seems like lately all the famous radio preachers have been preaching on this subject. And that's what motivated my thoughts on this. And they've been they've enlarged a lot more than I have. So I prayed and I asked God, is there someone out there that I need to forgive? Well, that's been a month ago, and he hasn't showed me anything yet. So I hope there's no one here that feels I owe you that. I don't think I think I would know it. I believe that Dale read from Scripture about the Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit will reveal to us when there's a need, and I think we should follow that. Is there a song? He paid a debt. Let's stand. God, we are glad for your forgiveness, and I want to say thank you for that, and I am grateful for all of your gifts to us, and I am grateful for Scripture, grateful for that which we can learn from the Scriptures and from our life experiences. I pray that you will help us in all of our journeys, in the areas of forgiveness, that we are always ready to give forgiveness as you forgave us and did it so freely, and you do it all the time in our offenses, in our daily shortcomings, things we do that are not correct and good, and when you forgive us without any strings attached. Thank you, Jesus, for that part of your life in the area of the crucifixion, the cross, the suffering, and all that you did and took upon yourself our sins, and you forgave us. Therefore, we are in debt to forgive all those who would have offense toward us. Help us to be diligent in forgiving and walking in your ways. Dismiss us with your blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Set me free.